So we are going through our Love That Lasts series, looking at a very biblical yet practical approach to marriage, trying to figure out how we can do all that we can do with the help of God to have a long-lasting, successful marriage. We started this whole thing off by seeing that first thing we got to do is each one of us, husbands and wives, we've got to do our part. Got to be praying, acknowledging our areas of weakness, both to God and to our spouse. Got to repent, make a change, say, God, we need to do things differently than tea. We've got to be teachable. Hopefully that's why you continue to come back to this sermon series. You keep going back to God's Word, which is our roadmap. If we want to have a successful marriage, then we've got to do it God's way, right? And God has given us the roadmap to a successful marriage right here. We just got to do it His way. Last week, we began looking at roles. We talked about the role of a husband, and we talked about how to be a happy husband, a husband that is doing what God has called them to do. And we basically saw that's twofold. In order to be a happy husband, you've got to be a servant leader and a sacrificial lover. So hopefully you got that, men, you digested that. And before we go any further, I've got to ask, did you do your homework? Did you do your homework? Okay, I'll take your word for it. If not, you better get it done today. So, because wives, you're going to have homework tonight, but you're not allowed to do that until your husband does his homework. So I know you're going to be ready. Maybe not, but we got to do it in the right order. So husbands, I hope you've done your homework. Hope you learned some things. Hope you got some things now that you can work on to improve how you lead your wife, how you love your wife. But now we're going to turn our attention to the ladies. So, first of all, let me begin by saying, I'm not a wife, nor will I ever be, but I'm married to one. Not this Wednesday, but next Wednesday will be 20 happy years, so excited about that. But God's Word, just like it did with husbands, gives us a roadmap to how to be godly wives. So I'm going to not share from my experience, only the experience I've had of living with a godly wife, but looking at what the roadmap says, and hopefully, wives, I'm going to give you some things just like I did last week that you can take, you can digest, you can think about, and then you can start applying. But basically, last week we talked about being a happy husband. This week we're going to talk about, and you see this on your outline, how to be a well-to-do wife. How to be a well-to-do wife. Now, you may be asking, why did you pick that phrase? Well, there's a twofold reason why. Last week, I had happy husband, so I had two H's, and I like to say consistent because of my problem with being obsessive compulsive sometimes. So I had to find something that started with a W to go with wife, so I said, well-to-do wife sounds good. But there's another reason, because when you look at this phrase, what does it mean to be well-to-do? If you look it up, it means to be prosperous, it means to be rich, it means to be comfortable. It means that you're content. Everything that you want, you're getting. Your needs are being met. And I thought, what a better phrase for a godly wife is someone who's well-to-do, who's not lacking in their marriage because they're getting everything they need, first from God, secondly from their husband, so they are content. They're happy. God is giving them a good marriage, and they're doing their part. So many marriages, you look at husbands and wives, but we're going to talk about wives today. Wives aren't content. Wives aren't happy. The fairy tale you signed up for is not playing out on a day-by-day basis. Between the hecticness of life, everything you've got going on, they envision something on the wedding day that hasn't come to pass. And so many wives today are looking, instead of a fairy tale, they're living a nightmare. And they're wanting something to change. They're needing something to change. And some wives, I don't know if hopefully none of you this morning, but some wives are looking just for a way out. It's not what they signed up for. But I hope if that's you, things are beginning to change in your house because your husband is doing what he's supposed to do. He's going to be serving you and loving you the way that he should, which is going to make you better equipped to love and serve him. But if you're both doing your part, remember the triangle, if you're both seeking after God, you're both trying to do things God's way, naturally you're going to be drawing closer together. So whether you've got a great marriage, whether your marriage is on the brink of ending, God can still work a miracle, right? God can still make it even better. So wherever you are, God can make it better, amen. So let's talk about this. Let's talk about how to be a well-to-do wife. And I want everybody in this place, all you wives, to think, I'm content in my marriage. I'm happy with my marriage. I've got a man who loves me, who serves me. I'm trying to do things God's way, and God's going to honor that. So let's talk a little bit about that this morning, how to be a well-to-do wife, a wife that is content, a wife that has her needs met, a wife that is happy to be married to the person that she is married to. So take your Bibles and look at Ephesians chapter 5. Again, I said we're going to be in this chapter a couple of weeks. Again, it's God's roadmap for what it means to be a godly husband, but it's also God's roadmap for what it means to be a godly wife. This is probably one of the best chapters in the whole Bible that deal with marriage and what we're to be doing as husbands, what we're to be doing as wives. So we're going to read it. We're going to pick a few verses out. But let me give you the context of the whole thing. Let me read 22 through 33. Husbands, remind yourself of what you're supposed to be doing as we go through these verses. And then wives, pay attention to what God says you're to be doing. Here's what it says. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so wives should also submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, back to Genesis, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound. I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Father God, I pray again today that as we look at your word, Lord, I pray for every wife in this building, those whom one day may be wives, those who may can encourage other wives, Lord, that we would see what your word says. God, I know culture and society will say one thing, but Lord, we want to go your way. We want to do it your way because your roadmap is the only one that leads to a successful, long-lasting marriage. Every other way is a dead end. So Lord, I pray for every wife in this place this morning. Pray for every husband, Lord, that you would speak loud to us and help us to understand the biblical role that you've given to wives. So Lord, I pray that you speak, and Lord, may you do a mighty work in this place, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going to go ahead and start it off with a bang, and we're going to look at the second word of verse 22, because that seems to generate the most problems. That seems to generate the most confusion. That word seems to generate feelings on both ends of the spectrum. That word is, look what it says, wives, submit. How many of you like that word? I'll leave it at that. But my goal through the Word of God this morning is to get you to not only like that word by the end of this sermon, but to get you to love it. Because to see, for I want you to see, it's God's plan for you. And God's plan for you is better than anything you can ever come up with by yourself. And you're going to see that as the husband's doing his job, as you understand your role, and you come together, you're going to have a marriage that works. But we got to deal with that word. So let's look at it first off. Let's identify what it is, what it's not, and then we're going to spend a lot of time together looking at what it means today and how we can make it relevant and how it works in our marriages today. But here's what it word. The word submit literally means to be subject to line oneself up under. The emphasis on the word is a willingness to submit. It's not something that should be forced. So you're being subject to someone. You're lining yourself up under someone, and it has the idea that you're willingly doing it. Now, it was originally a military term, meaning to arrange or to rank under, but it, according to the Bible, it's to be a voluntary response to God's will to give your rights up to another in a particular order or a particular rank that God has established. Now, we're going to talk about that. But again, anytime we talk about that, it tends to stir up pretty strong emotions. It is well-loved in some circles, well-hated in others, but often misunderstood in both. So let's talk about what exactly it means. Now, on your outline, you see a couple of points I want to make. It says submission, so we understand the term, the biblical term. Submission is a part of God's plan for all believers. So write the word plan there. Submission is a part of God's plan for all believers. It's not something that is just relegated to women who are married. As believers in Jesus Christ, we are all to be submitting to something. Look what it says in James chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. It says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So submission, this concept has to do with all of us. We're all to be submitting, first and foremost, to God. Lining ourselves up under him. He is over us. He is our authority. So this concept is not just for wives in marriage. It's a concept that affects all of us. On Wednesday nights in the class that I teach, we've been going through 1 Peter. And we've saw a couple of ways in 1 Peter that Peter is telling us that God wants us to submit. As good citizens, we're to be submissive. He says we're to submit to the government. The government that God has put in place over us, he expects us to submit to. As employees, we're to submit to those who are over us. We're to be the best employees that any job could have as we submit to the authority that God has put over us. So submission is not a foreign term to you if you are a Christian. It is something that God expects. First to him, he expects us to submit to the government that he's put in place, as long as that government's not asking us to do things that are contrary to what he commands us to do. And as you're working, he expects you, commands you to submit to whoever your employers are, because as we do this, we represent him. You know, we should be the best employees in any job, right, as believers. So submission is not something that's foreign to us. If you go back to verse 21 of chapter 5, he ends that section by saying that we're to be submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So submitting is something that should be common to every believer. It's a part of who we are as believers in Christ. It's not a term that angry, domineering husbands came up with, right? It's a biblical concept that we all practice in some shape, form, or fashion. Now, let's transition into how it fits in marriage. How does submission help you become a well-to-do wife? Well, let's talk about it. The next thing I want you to see on your outline is that submission does not imply inferiority. So that's what you write in the blank. Submission does not imply inferiority. It doesn't mean that you're any less important in the eyes of God. If you're not an equal, in the marriage relationship, both husband and wives are equal in the sight of God. Look what I've got written there. It does not imply inferiority, for both men and women are equal in the sight of God. Now, but notice, God has designed marriage so that both the husband and the wife have their distinct role. So write the word role in that second blank on that sentence. So it does not imply inferiority because we're equal in the sight of God. But God says in order for the marriage to work the way I want it to work, the husband has to have a role and the wives have to have a role. It doesn't mean one's inferior or superior to the other. It just means that in order to do it my way, you've got to understand what your part is in the marriage. Last week we saw the men are to be the leaders, the servant leaders, not the domineering, I am man, do what I say woman type leaders, right? The leaders that will sacrifice his wants, his desires, his needs for his wife, who will sacrificially love his wife more than he loves himself. As much as you love yourself, you're supposed to love your wife more and to serve her more, and you're to be following after Christ so that you can lead your family. So he's saying that the husbands are the leaders. But it's not a domineering. Again, there's nobody higher or ranked more in that capacity. We're all equal in the sight of God. But the husband is supposed to be the leader, and the wives, God says, are to be followers. Now, let's understand and break down what that means so there's no confusion this morning. So, number one, on your outline, we're going to see basically 2 points here. Number one, a well-to-do wife is a submissive follower. So, let's talk about what it means to be a submissive follower, one who willingly submits, one who understands that she is lined up under her husband, one who understands and recognizes her husband's leadership. Let's see what that is and biblically what that means. So I've got four things that we want to see as we talk about what it means to be a submissive follower as a wife to her husband. Look what it says in verse 22 again. Let me read verse 22, then we're going to give you what A is. Verse 22 of Ephesians chapter 5, it says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord." So, first thing I want you to write under A is in the marriage relationship, wives are to submit to the leadership of their husbands. Wives are to submit to the leadership of their husbands. That means that biblically, you recognize that God has given the place of leadership to your husband. That's what that verse is basically saying. Wives, submit, understand, realize, agree with, be obedient to the fact that God has designated the husband to be the leader, the spiritual leader of the household. So, in the marriage relationship, wives are to submit themselves to the leadership of their husbands. Notice it says to your own husband. That means the husband that you're married to, you're to be submissive to. You're to recognize that God has made him the spiritual leader in your marriage and in your home. Now, John Piper, in his book, This Momentary Marriage, which is an excellent book on marriage, if you want a good book on marriage, he defines submission as this, and I love this definition of biblical submission, talking about a wife to her husband. He says, biblical submission is the divine calling of a wife to honor and affirm her husband's leadership and help carry it through according to her gifts. So, biblical submission is the divine calling of a wife to honor and affirm her husband's leadership and to help carry it through according to her gifts. It's a beautiful thing when it all works together, is what we're driving at. Now, we're going to talk about how she helps him carry it through in the second part of this sermon. But the first thing we want to focus on is how it is your divine calling to honor and affirm your husband. Look what it says again in verse 22 with me. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Now, it's important that it says to your own husbands because wives are to submit only to their husbands. This is not commanding that wives or women submit to men in general. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking very specifically about the marriage relationship, and you are to submit to your own husband. And again, that means you honor and affirm him as leader. You agree with God that he is the spiritual leader in your home. What it is not saying is this. Paul, through the Holy Spirit, is not saying that women or wives are commanded to obey their husbands as the same way children are obey their parents or slaves are to obey their masters, as you would later read in chapter 6 of this same book of Ephesians, verse 1 and verse 5, respectively. That's a different word. It doesn't mean, so when we understand that it's not an obey in the way the children obey their parents or slaves obey their masters, this speaks to us husbands. Husbands, are you listening? Because I don't want you to tune out during this sermon because you think it's about your wife. It's about both of you, right? So husbands, listen to this. So if you just woke up, welcome. Happy to have you here this morning. Here's what it says. A husband is not called to treat his wife as a child or a slave, but as an equal whom God has given him to lead and to love. A husband is not called to treat his wife as a child or a slave. It's not talking about that kind of relationship. Society wants to say that's what we say as the church, but that's not what the Bible says. We don't treat our wives as children or church. We don't demand our way. We do the exact opposite. We willingly serve and sacrifice our way for them. But all submission really is, if you want to break it down, is wives, you're recognizing that God has given your husband the leadership in your marriage and your home, and you're cool with that. You say, that's good. I want to follow. God's giving you that leadership. I support it. That's what submission is in a nutshell. But that's not what all I'm going to talk about, so don't close your Bibles. We're not done yet. But that's A. It's understanding that you're to submit to the leadership of your husband. Now, B, let's talk about B. This is important. Look what it says again in verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands, comma, there's an important phrase that Paul hits us with now, as to the Lord. So in the marriage relationship, wives are to submit to their husbands because God commands it. Now again, the whole word submission has this idea of you're willingly submitting, but you should willingly submit because you understand it's what God wants you to do. Right? We just don't do what God wants because we feel like we're going to get in trouble if we don't. That's not what God wants from us. He wants obedience, but He wants it from a heart that loves Him, that wants to honor Him, that wants to bring Him glory. So wives, the Bible says you're to submit. God commands you to do that. But He wants you to do it because you love Him and you want to do marriage His way. You see the difference? Not just because the husband should never say, you've got to submit to me because God says so. You know, husbands should never have to say that. You should say, I want to submit because God wants me to, and I want to honor God in my marriage relationship. Do you see the difference there? But we have to understand that this comes from God. Again, God is the one that came up with the concept of marriage, and if we want our marriages to work, we got to do it His way. So God commands that wives submit to their husbands. That means you acknowledge that your husband has the leadership position. As John Piper said in that definition I gave you, it's your divine calling. God has called you to do this as wives. He's called you to be a follower, to acknowledge your husband has the spiritual leadership in your home. And when you do this, you're not doing it for your husband, but you're doing it to bring glory to God. See, verse 24, go down to verse 24 with me. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. So that's what I want you to write on your outline. In the marriage relationship, wives are to submit themselves to their husbands in everything. Now what does that mean? Well, I'm glad you asked. We'll talk about it. But let's go back to this correlation that we see between husbands and wives and Jesus in the church, right? Remember, our marriages are a beautiful picture of the relationship that Jesus Christ has with His church. He says, men, you're to love your wives as Christ loved the church. So, you know, in that analogy, the husbands represent Jesus and are to sacrificially love and to serve their wives. So the wives would represent the church, and they are to submit or to follow or to acknowledge His leadership just as the church acknowledges the leadership of Jesus Christ. Now, is there ever a time in our relationship with Jesus Christ that we become the master and He becomes the follower? Never, right? So in our marriage relationships, the husband is always to be the spiritual leader in the home. Always. There's never a role reversal. There should never be a time when the wife becomes the spiritual leader in the home because God has not given you that position. He has not given you that role, just like He has not given the church the role of being over Jesus Christ. We are always to submit to Him. Marriage is a correlation of that relationship. It is a picture of that. So what that tells you, wives, is that you are never to try to usurp your husband and become the leader of your house. He is the one that God has called to provide and protect. That's not your responsibility. That's what God has given him. So you're never to try to usurp that leadership and to take it away from him because that is not the role that God has given you. You are to always acknowledge that God has put your husband as that position of leadership, and you are to honor that and live in such a way that honors that. So that's what it's talking about in everything. There's never a time when those roles get reversed. God didn't set it up that way. We can see that ultimately what happened in the Garden of Eden is just that. The wife tried to usurp the husband's position of leadership, and the husband let her do it. Remember Genesis chapter 3. Turn there with me really quick. We looked at this last week, but again, remember what happened. We see Adam and Eve got their roles mixed up, and it led to chaos that we're still dealing with today, right? Eve led Adam to eat the forbidden fruit. Adam did not lead. He did not say, no, honey, that's not what God is supposed to let us do. Adam became the follower. Eve became the leader. Or she usurped Adam's position as leader. Adam led her, and boom, from that point on, sin entered the world, and we are still facing its consequences today. See, God says, set it up for a reason. And again, if we do it His way, it's always going to work. But you remember that whole story in Genesis chapter 3. But I want to draw your attention to verse 16 to see how this really did mess everything up and how it's going to be a struggle for as long as you're married for husbands to always do their job biblically, and for wives to always do their job biblically, because God says it all the way back in Genesis chapter 3 that this is going to be a struggle that ensues for the rest of time. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. He says, this is the curse. As He's given the curse after the sin has happened, He says, to the woman, He said, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. Say amen. I must admit it wasn't so painful before the sin. In pain you shall bring forth children. Now here's what we want to focus in on the next part of that phrase. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Now, these words foretell the ongoing struggle that will occur from that point on for leadership in the marriage relationship. The leadership role of the husband and the complementary role of the wife were forever damaged and distorted by sin. It's never going to be like it was before the fall or how God set it up to be, because sin taints everything. Sin messes up every single thing, and it messed up husbands truly being the leaders. It messed up wives truly being the followers without all the wrinkles that we still face today. Let me tell you what God is actually saying when you look at the meaning of the original language in this verse. Here, God is telling Eve that your desire shall be for your husband. This literally means that she would now desire to seek control and rule over him. That's what the Hebrew means. That from this point on, she's going to desire to be the leader. You see, sin crept in, the roles were reversed, and because of sin, that's going to be a struggle, women, that you face in your marriage. You're going to want to take that leadership position. Men, can I hear an amen? Everybody's going to be silent today. I guarantee you most men looked at their wife before they said anything. But that's a part of the curse, is that women are going to desire to usurp their husbands and take that leadership position. That's literally what he is saying to Eve. Notice the phrase, and he shall rule over you, literally means that the man from that point on will fight the desire to be domineering in that leadership role and to try to put women under their feet. That's a battle that men have to face. The abuse of power, so to speak, that I'm the leader. Woman, you're going to do what I say. Now, I hope no men in this room has ever said that, but I almost guarantee you've thought it. That's part of the curse, is that we're constantly going to fight trying to be domineering in that relationship. God says, I'm the leader. Boom, do what I say. We fight that. Women, you're going to fight being submissive. Why do I always have to follow? Why can't I be the leader? Why can't I do this? Why? It's going to be a battle because of the curse of sin. God talked about it in Genesis chapter 3. Most marriages, almost all marriages, I'm sure, face this fight. But this is why we need Jesus Christ, right? This is why we need the redemption that He provides, so that now that we have the Holy Spirit residing in us, we can try with His power to get things back the way they should. Husbands can be servant leaders, not domineering, sacrificial lovers, and wives can be willing followers, recognizing and honoring that position that God has given their husbands. You know, it's only through Jesus Christ can we do that, because the flesh and the husband says, I want what I want. I don't want to serve my wife. I don't want to sacrificially love her. I want what I want when I want it. And the wife says, oh yeah, well, I want what I want. I want to wear the pants in the family. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to do that. Jesus says, enough. Let me come in. Let the Holy Spirit indwell you. Now get back to doing it the right way. Husbands, sacrificially love your wife, serve your wife. Women, honor and respect your husbands as the leaders. And let him love you. Let him serve you. That's the way God intended it, but sin messed it up. So, husbands, go back to Ephesians 5. Wives, submit to your own husbands in everything. Now, I must make a disclaimer here. Before you take this to the nth degree, when it says husbands, or wives, submit to your husbands in everything, there is one disclaimer here. The only exception to this is if your husband forbids you to do what God commands you to do. Or if he commands you to do what God forbids. Let me say that again. The only exception to this is if your husband forbids you to do what God commands, or he commands you to do what God forbids. You see, God always trumps everything, right? Your first allegiance is to God as husbands and to wives. And husbands, you can never ask your wife to do something that God forbids or you can never ask her not to do something God commands. Wives, if your husband does that, you do not have to submit in that instance. Everything else, you're to acknowledge his leadership and try to line yourself up and support him, honor him, and follow him. That's the way God set it up. And I know if we do it that way, it will work. Now, what about if you're a godly wife married to an unbeliever? Don't you love God's word? Because it speaks to that very situation. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 and 2 says this. Likewise, wives. Now, this is that same passage that I mentioned earlier where Peter says, as believers, as citizens, we've got to submit to our government. We've got to submit to our employers. Now he throws it into the marriage relationship. He says, likewise, wives, be subject to your husbands. Again, submit to your husbands. Respect their authority. Understand their leadership. Honor them as leaders. Seek to follow them and support them. Now he changes it a little bit just to cover everyone. But what about my husband who doesn't love the Lord? What about my husband who's not a believer? Notice what he says. So that even if some do not obey the word, that means they're not believers, that they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Now what is that talking about? Respectful and pure conduct. That means when you honor and respect your husband as the leader of your house, even if he's not a believer, you see, you got married. So he still got that leadership position. But what Peter's saying is, if you will honor him and respect him and love him and follow him, as long as he's not asking you to do something contrary to what God says, God will use you, maybe, to win him to Christ as he sees you loving him and honoring him. To show honor and respect to your husband, again, as to the Lord. Your husband may not love the Lord, but you do, and you're going to try to honor that marriage relationship. You're going to try to, you know, honor your husband, even if he's not a believer. And the cool thing about that is it says God may very well use that, how you treat your husband, to eventually win him to Christ. Isn't that cool? So wives, if you do not have a godly husband, I'm sorry. I feel for you. I know it's tough, but God understands, and I encourage you to respect your husband. Try to affirm his leadership. Try to love him, serve him, and hopefully watch God work in his heart because of your faithfulness. And let's see if God will win your husband to Christ through it. D, last part under being a submissive follower. In the marriage relationship, submission involves attitudes as well as actions. What do our actions mean if our attitudes aren't there? Zip, right? Don't you know that God sees past your actions and looks where? Into your heart. So he wants this to be a willing submission because you love him and want to honor him, not just that you're going through the motions. Look what it says in verse 33. It says this, however, let each one of you love his wife as himself. Talking to you men again. And then it says, let the wife see that she respects her husband. That she respects her husband. That you affirm him as leader. You honor him as leader. You understand that God gave him that position. He didn't pick it. God picked it for him. And it means in every way possible you submit, you follow, you love him. Not just because you have to, but because you want to honor God and you understand it's your divine calling, as John Piper said, in the marriage relationship in a way that you can bring glory to him. So it's all in your attitude. Do you really love your husband and you understand God's given him that position of leadership, and are you willing to support him in that? Are you willing to honor him in that? And if he's doing it the right way, it should be no problem because you're going to have a man who's serving you, putting your needs above him. You should have no problem honoring somebody who's serving you like that. But if he's not, keep honoring him, respecting him anyway, and watch God change his heart through your actions, as Peter just reminded us. But it's got to be an attitude, not just an action. You've got to say, I want to do this to honor God. I want my marriage to be all it can be, and I understand that I have a part to play in that as well as a wife. So let me mention a few more things about submission before we switch to point number two so that we make sure that we're clear before we leave this point of what it means to be a submissive follower. submission, and I didn't, these are not on your outline, but if you want to flip it over and write these down, you can. Submission does not mean you agree with everything your husband says. Sorry, husbands, it does not mean that. Again, we just, you know, in the case of a non-believing husband, God still expects you to follow your husband, honor your husband, but if he doesn't love Christ, you may not agree with everything. And even if you love your husband and your husband loves you, you may not always be on the same page. You don't become robots when you're a submissive wife, right? Husbands, you don't expect your wife to be a robot, do you? You know your wife is listening, so. So it does not mean you have to agree with everything. You're your own person. He's his own person. But you still respect him and honor him as leader, but you don't have to always, you know, you may not always be on the same page, but that's where it's a challenge for you to pray together, talk things, communicate, which we'll talk about next week, to help you get on that same page. And same, going along right with that, write this down. Submission does not mean that you never have an opinion. I will leave that alone. So, I know that our wives have opinions, and that's good. Yes, amen. That's a smart husband right there. That's the smartest husband in the crowd. So, every one of you, if you were paying attention, should have said amen to that one. Hey, I'll try it again. Submission does not mean that wives never have an opinion. Amen. All right. Because as a servant leader and a sacrificial lover, you want to hear her opinion, you want to respect her opinion, and you want to do everything possible to make that happen, right, husbands? That's what God's called us to do. So again, I want to break this idea that submission is the wall, the wife becomes a wallflower and she just follows her husband wherever he says, and you know, yes sir, yes sir, yes sir. That's not what it is at all. It's two people with very distinct personalities and sets of giftings and, you know, ideas and dreams and ambitions. But when you get married, you become one. And to avoid chaos, God says, well, the husband gets the leadership role, the wife is to follow. But again, it doesn't mean that you're not equal. It just means that the husband, you're going to have to really serve your wife and really love her and pray with her and try to get on the same page with her. It takes work on both parts. It's never, I'm husband, I'm the God-given leader, you do what I say whether you like it or not, period. Oh, please don't ever do that. Because that's not what God's called you to be as a husband, right? Third thing I want you to write about submission, again, before we leave this topic, is submission is being willing to honor and affirm his leadership as your husband, as God put him in place, is the willingness to honor and affirm his leadership. So, and here's you know, kind of where the rubber meets the road sometimes. If you both have an opinion and you cannot come to a conclusion together, God's called you as the wife to submit to your husband's leading. That's where the husband can, in the best servant way possible, pull the leader card, right? If you're both coming together and he wants to do this, you want to do this, and you both feel like you're seeking the Lord, but you can't come to an agreement, and you've prayed and you've prayed and you've talked and you've heard both sides, and the husband just feels like this is what needs to happen, then wives say, as a spiritual leader, I affirm your leadership and I'll follow you, right? But you've got a man who loves you and serving you and wants to hear your opinion, wants to talk to you, not just saying, here's what we're going to do. So, to make this maybe a little bit clearer to you, I've invited my wife up here, and we're going to do a little skit for you to show you what it's not and what it is, okay? So bear with us. And this thing is heavy. All right, so here's what it would look like. All right, this is, let me tell you, let's see if you know this is the right way or the wrong way, okay? Honey, I have really been praying, seeking the Lord, and I feel like God wants us to up our missions pledge this year. I feel like he wants us to make some sacrifices, cut some things out that maybe we don't need, because I feel like we need to give more towards missions, and I prayed about it, and I feel like that's what we need to do.
Well, you know, I mean, I have a relationship with God, too, and I've been praying, and I understand that he might have told you that, but, you know, I see needs in our family. We have a garage that needs to get finished. We have 7 children. You know, we need space. We need another room. We need another bedroom. I was literally going to come to you and ask you, can we please pray about finishing that garage? I don't know how we're going to do both.
Well, I'm the leader. God's called me to lead. He said that we're going to use our money this way. So, you know, biblically, Case closed.
Okay, fine. You know what, though? You may be this God-given leader, but you got your money. I'll get a job and get my money, and I'll finish the garage.
Knock yourself out. Oh. Yeah. All right. Cut. Oh. Right way. Wrong way. Here's how a servant leader, a sacrificial lover, and a submissive follower come together. Now watch, see if you notice a difference here. Honey.
Yes.
I have been praying really hard, and I feel like God has laid something on my heart. I know things are tough, but God is really showing me that we need to give more towards missions. If that means we need to cut some things out, sacrifice a few other things, I really feel like God's leading us to give more towards our missions pledge this year.
Wow. I totally respect that. I know God uses you and you're the leader of our home, but honestly, that took me off guard. I didn't see it coming. I was really thinking of coming to you and asking you to pray about finishing the garage. You know that we have needs. You know we've got kids that need, you know, space. But time and time again, God uses you as leader. I totally will support what you think.
Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll pray about it some more. We'll pray about it together. And like I said, I really believe God's leading us to do this. But we'll pray about it to make sure, and we'll pray as a husband and wife to make sure that, because I want to do everything as possible to make sure we're on the same page.
I do too, and I don't know, something I could see God doing was, you know, even just in this conversation, I say, yeah, let's step out in faith. Let's give to missions. God told you that. I'm not going to doubt it. And let's do pray. Maybe he'll surprise us and finish the garage too. If he doesn't, we don't need it. So.
Amen. Works. Sounds good. So which way is better? Which way is biblical?
Yeah.
So see, husbands as leaders and wives as submissive followers, it's not what I want. It doesn't matter what you want. A good leader will hear about what their wife says, will hear her opinion, and do everything possible to get on the same page. Never do you pull your leadership card unless you just keep praying and keep praying and keep praying, and you just know God's leading you to do this. And like she said, I trust you. I know that you follow the Lord. I love you. I see that in you, and I will go with you. But then she said, hey, who knows? If we're faithful to God that way, watch him bless the other way, right? So that's what submission is. It's not this thing that the world wants to show you and, you know, that kind of thing. It's a good thing, you know, and if we're both doing our parts as husbands, as wives, can't you see how God's going to bless that in the marriage relationship? Amen. So last thing I want you, first of all, let me give you an assignment. You see, assignment number one. All right, women, have your pens ready. Men, have your pens ready. And all you got to do is make sure that you've done your homework. So either write yes or no. That's all you need to write down, men. But women, here's your first assignment. Just kind of like similar to last week. But wives, I want you to meet with your husbands this week. And I want you to go to them and ask them, am I more of a selfish or submissive wife? Am I more selfish, want what I want? Or am I supporting you in your leadership? What do you think? Am I fighting against you? Am I trying to usurp your leadership? Or am I affirming your leadership and honoring your leadership? So I want you to ask that question. However you want to word it, but that's what you need to get across. Are you being more about yourself, trying to take that position of leadership? Or are you honoring and affirming your husband's leadership? So that's assignment number one. Spend time asking your husband that. Am I more selfish or supportive as a wife? Am I following you the way God calls me to follow? Do you feel that I honor you as the leader of our home? Everybody got that? I didn't want to give you a cookie cutter thing because, you know, that's so broad. But those are a couple of things that I want you to start thinking. Now, just a few more minutes left. I want to talk about number two. So we've seen that a well-to-do wife is a submissive follower. God puts hopefully a God leader in your place, your husband. He's following God. He's serving you. He's loving you. Hopefully you have no problem affirming and honoring that leadership and following him. But the second thing I believe God's called you to do as a well-to-do wife is to be a complementary helper, a complementary helper. That goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 2 when God says, I'm going to make a helper fit for him, talking about Adam and Eve. Eve was given to be a helper, a partner, you know, someone that Adam and Eve could come together and do life with and to help one another. And where he was weak, you know, she would come in and complement that, and they would complete each other. So the second thing that the Bible clearly teaches us is that we're to be women, or wives, are to be complementary helpers. And we talked about that a couple of weeks ago when we looked at Adam and Eve. But let me remind you just a few of the things that we talked about. Eve was created to be a helper that complemented and completed Adam. No other creature that was around at that time could do that. You see, without woman, even though man was in his perfect condition, sinless, he was still not complete. There was not found a suitable helper to him. None of the animals were suitable, so God made woman. He made Eve, and she was to fulfill what was lacking in a perfect world. Imagine that. It was perfect, but yet Adam still wasn't complete without Eve. That's that whole idea of the two becoming one flesh. You're there to complete and complement each other. And that's what I want you to write on your outline. So in the marriage relationship, God wants you to use your gifts and abilities as wives to complement and complete your husband. To complement and complete your husband. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 11 says this: "Nevertheless, in the Lord, woman is not independent of man, nor man of woman." What does that mean? It means we need each other. We need each other. We complete each other. Wives, in your best loving and adoring eyes, look at your husbands right now and say, "You complete me." Do it. Husbands, in your best loving voice, I know you can do it, look at your wife and say, "You complete me." Because that's what marriage is to do. You're to complement and complete each other. You both have gifts, you both have strengths, you both have weaknesses, but when you come together, you're to work together to form this perfect union. So things that maybe you're not strong in, she is, and you work together. You're maybe not gifted in ways she are. So, but as a husband, as a good leader, you use your wife's gifts. And wife, as a good follower, you understand where your husband may be lacking. But you still affirm and love him and offer to come alongside him and help him. You're working together. This is a complementary relationship. We're there to complete each other and to help each other, not to dominate or rule over one another. Hopefully you've seen that out of everything we're talking about this week. So you may be good at this. Your husband may not be. He may be good, and you're not, and you're a team. You work together. One of you may be really good at finances. The other one's terrible. It doesn't have to be the man that does the checkbook, right? You find out what your gifts and strengths are. One of you may be really good at cooking. The other may not. You work together. You work together as husbands and wives. And men, you got to take the lead in that. Use your wife. Use her giftings. Use her abilities. Realize she was given to complete you and to complement you and vice versa. This promotes oneness that God wants us to have in our marriages. So women, understand, you complement and complete your husband. He needs you. In a perfect world, there was still something missing. And that was you as a wife. So the husband may have thought his world, and some man will think this now, my life was perfect before I got married. And you can just say, no, it wasn't, because in the perfect world, it still wasn't complete without a wife. So women, you complete your husband. You complement your husband. The next thing I want you to write on your outline is that Scripture does teach as well. A part of this complementing and completing your husband is Scripture does teach that a wife's primary ministry, her primary ministry, is to guess who? Your husband, right? Your primary ministry as a wife is to your husband. Look what it says in Titus chapter 2, verse 3 through 5. It says this: "Older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good and train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled." In this scripture, you know, it points to the fact that a wife's primary ministry is first and foremost to her husband and family. That's what God's designed you to do. That's your primary ministry. That does not mean you cannot serve outside of the home. That does not mean you cannot work outside of the home. But notice what it does say. I want to point out to what it says in verse 5 there. It says here to be working at home. That just means that it's your primary responsibility to take care of your husband and your family. God has given you that. He's gifted you to do that. Think about that. Your natural giftings are much better than most husbands at taking care of the house and taking care of the kids and managing that kind of thing. And that's not bad. That's just how God wired you. Now, but that doesn't mean you can't work outside of the home. But what does that imply? That if you are able to work outside the home or you need to work outside of the home, that you make sure your primary ministry is not being neglected. You with me on that? Because God's called you to that first. That is your primary ministry so that the word of God may not be reviled. God's serious. He wants you to do the things He's called you to do. And it doesn't mean you don't do. You look at Proverbs 31. You know, this lady did it all. Read that for homework this week. But she still met the needs of her husband and her family. So I'm not saying you have to stay at home. But as I said last week, if one of you has to work, men, God's called you to do that, to protect and provide for your wife. Maybe you feel like I really need to come home to maintain that primary responsibility as a wife. And then it's on you, men, to say, okay, how do I make that happen? What do we can cut out? What can we cut back on? We just went through radical. What are we living with that we don't need so that my wife, who feels like she should be home, how can we make that happen? Husbands, that's on you. You're the leader. You're to provide, protect your wife, make it happen. But wives, you got to understand, that's your primary ministry, is to your husband and to your family. You were designed to complement him, complete him, and to submissively follow him. So here's the second assignment this week. Similar to the first, but there's a few different nuances. Just ask your husband, similar to what we had men ask their wives, am I meeting your needs as a complementary helper? Do you feel I complete you? Woo. Men, you got to think about that answer. But do you feel your wife is completing you, complimenting you? Is she affirming your leadership, but then coming alongside and helping you be a better leader? Are you using her, and this thing, you have to think about this too, man. Are you using her gifts and her strengths? Are you letting her come alongside and help you? Are you being that kind of leader that recognizes your wife's abilities and you use it for the betterment of your marriage? But wives, you need to ask, am I meeting your needs? I'm here to compliment you. I'm to help you. I'm to, you know, make you a better leader. Go back to that definition that we read in the very beginning from John Piper. And let me just, I'm going to close with that. It says this: biblical submission is the divine calling of a wife to honor and affirm her husband's leadership. We just talked about that, being a submissive follower. But here's the second part: and to help carry it out according to her gifts, and to help carry that leadership out according to her gifts. So God's called the husbands to lead, but He's called you, wives, to come alongside Him and help Him carry out that leadership role. Not to usurp it, but to help Him. I would say be His right-hand man, but be His right-hand woman, right? Because you're going to be locked hands, right? You're in this thing together. The two are one. Are you helping your husband become a better leader? Are you praying for him? Are you honoring him with your words? Are you lifting him up? Does he know you respect him? When you're around other women, does respect for your husband come out of your mouth? Because that's what God's called you to do. Respect him. Honor him. Affirm that he's leader. And men, you're going to do everything that you can to earn that respect, because you're going to lead her the way God wants you to lead her. Amen. But can you just see from those two pictures of a husband and a wife, when we're both doing it the way we should, do you see how that marriage is going to be much more what God designed it to be? If not, I'll start all over and go back to husbands next week. You got it? You see, I know you got to process it, but you see how it starts to come together. When men do what they're supposed to be doing, women do what they're supposed to be doing biblically, you're going to have a content, fulfilled marriage. You're going to feel like a well-to-do wife, because you're not going to be lacking. Your husband's going to be giving you that love. He's going to be using you. You're going to, you know, not in a bad way, using your gifts and talents and abilities to help him become a better leader. So wives, work on your homework. Men, get your answers ready. Think through that a little bit. And again, all this is to help your relationship get stronger. I've asked Kim to come up really quick, and she's going to pray. I figure she's going to do a better job praying for you wives than I would this morning. So I'm going to ask her to pray, and then after she's done, we're going to have the worship team come up. And last week, as I asked the men, the husbands, to come forward, I'm going to ask the wives to come forward and just try to commit yourself again to being that submissive follower that affirms and honors your husband's leadership and understanding that you were designed to be his complementary helper. So I'm going to ask that you recommit to those things. If you want to pray together as ladies, you want to grab somebody by the hand, but use this as a time to say, hey, God, let me be the godly wife that you've called me to be. So,
ladies, before we pray, I hope that song, Good, Good Father, I hope you worshiped in that song just like I did. We have an awesome Father, an awesome Heavenly Father. He is perfect. The plan He gave us in His Word is perfect. It's perfect for the men. It's perfect for the women. But we have our part. And honestly, our men cannot serve us. They can't lead us. They can't even try to lead us, A, if we're wearing the pants. Some of us have got to take the pants off. We've got to quit controlling our husbands. We've got to quit manipulating our husbands. We've got to let them lead. We need to serve our husbands. You know his weaknesses better than anyone else. If in his leading he has a weakness, don't blurt it out to everyone. Just come underneath him and maybe you help take that on. Be that complimentary wife. I think also in serving him, we've got to learn to give them confidence to lead. We can't just take the pants off and be like, okay, fine, it's your role. But we've got to give them confidence in their leadership. We've got to tell them what they're doing good. Tell them less what they're doing bad. But in loving and serving them and coming alongside them as that helper that God wants us to be, that's our role. It's our part. So please know our part is just as important as our husbands. I know they've got the leading role, but they can't lead unless we're submitting. And I hope that's the main thing you got from this. And it is an awesome plan. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you so much for just for your word. We thank you, Father, that you're very specific. We thank you that that you don't leave us guessing. You tell us exactly what we need to do in order to bring you glory. And Father, in this thing called marriage, Lord, you gave us two roles. And I do pray for our husbands. They heard an awesome message last week. And today, I just lift up our wives. I know there are wives all over this room in many different scenarios. We do have some wives that have unbelieving husbands, and I lift them up. I lift them up, Lord. Bring them peace. Bring them contentment in you. You fill their love cup, Lord, so that they can spill it out on their husband, and they can just love them to the nth degree. They can shower grace upon their husband, and that maybe that husband can be won in their love and in their submissiveness. Give them strength to do that in you, because I know that's where it'll have to come. Father, for those of us who are believers, Lord, help us sweetly to come aside our husbands and allow them to lead us. Allow them to lead us and our children if we have children. Help us, Father, not to degrade them to our friends or in public. Even sometimes just the funny, sarcastic things sometimes get old and sometimes really, really hurt our hubbies. Help us not to do that in front of our kids either. Help us not to tear our husbands down. Help us not to always speak their negative attributes and I can do it better and you're just whatever. Lord, prick our hearts when we get ready to do those things and turn those into positives. Help us to come aside our husbands, Lord, and just serve them, make their leadership easier, not harder. And Lord, really help us take the pants off. We love you, Lord, and we just pray that you get all glory in this place today. In Jesus' name, amen.